Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, but now we're in for a different animal. We were on a journey of about 14 hours, and then, I'm having, I think Krista wasn't around then. She was still in my loins, but we had Stephanie and Kendra and Tamara, so I'm on a trip with four women, so now you know a 14-hour trip is going to be extended to about a 16-hour trip because girls and women need to stop. So often, so now you have, them riding, for 30 minutes, and now we're going, 15, 16 hours. And one of the things that, from they would go to sleep and wake up and they would just, I think Kendra, she led the charge. She said, "Dad, are we there yet?" I said, "No, girl, we're not there." That was just about 2 hours into the trip. we still got 13, 14 hours to go. And that was just a constantly thing. "Dad, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet?" And then she just came to the conclusion, "Dad, won't you just let Mom drive?" Because, she thought Mom could do a better job of getting her there quicker, because the journey was starting to wear on her, starting to weary her, and I want you to understand that's coming from a child, and I need you to see the analogy in it, God would many times set leaders in place, and as he's trying to mature us, as leaders, mature us as fathers and mothers and in leadership and as a people, many times a child, because they're irritable and, they don't understand the journey that lay ahead of us, they want to know, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" But Tina and I had been on that journey before, and we knew that if she only knew, if they only knew that, child, you got a long time before we get there. You got stops in between. You got rest areas to visit. You got eatings. You got to sit down for, you got to eat lunch. Then you got to eat dinner, and you might have to eat breakfast, before we get there, because it's a journey ahead. Now, the thing is, Tina and I, being the parents and being the mature ones, we knew the trip that lay ahead. And I want you to see this today, that is the same spirit that Corey, in the scripture demonstrated. And I went one way in the first session, but I'm going to go another way in this session because, those spirits attack the body of Christ and attack you as individuals, whether you're grown-ups, whether you're children, whether you're members. They just attack you. And what they do, they come to abort your maturation in God. They come to abort your maturation in life. They come to abort your effectiveness, of whatever you're supposed to be and whatever God has called you to be. Those spirits come to abort that. And today, I want you as a child of God to stop asking the question, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" I gave an analogy on the other night about Jacob. The Bible says that basically he had come back from serving Laban. And coming back from serving Laban, he heard that Esau was coming to meet him. Now, the last words that he had heard from Esau is that, "When I see you again, I'm going to kill you." But, you know, 20 years had gone by. And this is what God does with every son or with every daughter in your maturation and your maturing process. You know, you always go in to servanthood first. God uses, he thrusts you into serving before you ever go into being the leader or being that responsible father or mother that God has called you to be. You know, you're going to look back over your life and you're going to see a period where you did nothing but serve. The Bible talks about a story of a man named Elisha. Now, the Bible says that God spoke about Elisha on the mountain to Elijah. And hear what he tells Elijah. He says that, I want you to anoint Jehu, you know, as king. You know, I want you to anoint another one as king. And I want you to anoint Elisha in your room. And so the Bible says when Elijah leaves off the mountain, you know, he passes by the farm where Elisha is plowing behind oxen. He takes his mantle off of him and he casts it on Elisha. When he casts it, he takes it back. And the Bible says as Elijah is walking away, you know, he hears footsteps running behind him. He looked behind him and Elisha is running behind him. And he asks the question, boy, what have I done to you? You know, and Elisha tells Elijah, let me go home and kiss my parents goodbye. And he threw a big barbecue. He threw a big party, because the Bible says that he took the oxen that he was walking behind and he boiled their flesh, and the people did eat. And then he went and followed Elijah. Now, years later, you know, after mantles had shifted and, you know, after kings had changed, the Bible says there was three kings that got together to go fight against another king. And it says they were out there for 7 days and they were without water and without food. And the scripture says that one of the king's servants said something like this. One of the kings asked the question, did God bring us out here to die in the wilderness and that we might perish? And the king's servant says, well, Elisha, who poured water on the hands of Elijah, he's here. And the king answered, the word of the Lord is good in him. Now, I want you to notice that at that time, the kings and the servants of the kings didn't think about none of the miracles that Elisha had done. And Elisha, you know, scripture talks about Elijah doing about 14 miracles. Elisha did about 28 of them. But he wasn't recognized for the miracles that he did, although he was one of the closest prophets, you know, related to Jesus Christ, you know, with miracles and signs that were performed. But the way the kings and the king's servants recognized him, he was the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Meaning that they recognize him being thrust into servanthood, thrust into serving, you know, which brings me to a point. I do want to thank all the people that did what y'all did yesterday. That was phenomenal. That was excellent, you know, and it drew the attention, you know, of media that you all served so many people on yesterday. And making it happen. You know, when you see people come out, you know, in the heat of the day because they need economic stability, I want you to understand you're meeting a need of the community. Yeah. When we talk about maturation and maturing, we're just not talking about you as an individual. We're not just talking about your marriage. We're not just talking about your family. Because, see, what works as for an individual, it also works for a marriage. It also works for a family, but it also works for an institution. And this institution called Powerhouse is celebrating 30 years, which is the year of maturity. So not only should the people mature, but a church should mature. A church should grow up and be able to be effective in a community, in an area, a region, and from nation to nation. So we thank God for the 30 years that God has, you know, brought us together. And we can actually say that we as a ministry, we are affecting, you know, the world. We are affecting the nations of the earth. You know, we have sons and daughters. We have churches, you know, who are growing and who's being planted. I just got a call from, Omaha, Nebraska. I was telling my wife and, you know, the pastor there asked me to come next month. He said, now he's been pastoring for, you know, 15, 20 years, and they're having their first conference, their very first conference. And the name of their church is Powerhouse. Wow. And you know, I don't know, years ago, my wife and I, we were in Des Moines, Iowa, and the pastor came and got me and took me over to Omaha to preach for him. And the pastor happened to be, you know, in the audience, never knowing that the ministry would affect him, you know, in this particular way. But they've come to a point now, after 15, 20 years, now they're ready to do their first conference. And they want me to come back and do the first night and the opening night, you know, because they took our name. And we impacted them, not even knowing that we impacted them, but it's in line with our mission statement. You know, they feel they've come to a point now that they're ready to go to the next level. They're ready to grow some more, you know, and who do they come back for? They come back for the one that have impacted them. This is what I'm saying. You know, across the nation, in the nations of the earth, we have impacted, we have influenced, we have grown up sons and daughters, you know, not only here locally, but around the world. That's an institution coming, you know, and showing its maturity. Now, if the institution is doing it, the people in the institution has got to do it all. Also. All right. So the thing is, when we look at are we there yet? Talking about Jacob, as I mentioned the other night, Jacob was left alone at a place called Jabbok, J-A-B-B-O-K, Jabbok. And Jabbok means flowing. It means proceeding. Jabbok means flowing. It means proceeding. Now, Jacob went there as Jacob. And there in the night, the Bible says a man jumps him. You know, actually the angel of the Lord, actually God himself. He's wrestling with Jacob. We often say Jacob wrestled with the angel, but Jacob didn't wrestle with the angel. It was actually the angel wrestling with Jacob. Now, why? Because when daybreak came, Jacob actually recognized who he was wrestling with. He was wrestling with God. And in wrestling with God, you know, here's the thing. He makes the statement, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. Huh? Everybody said it. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now, we like Jacob might not know what we're asking for, because after Jacob makes that statement, before he makes that statement, the angel of the Lord touches him and knocks his joint out of socket. So now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jacob is going to walk away from there different than the way he walked there. Jacob is going to have a different walk in his life. But then he tells God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. What is the first thing that God does, in blessing Jacob? He asks Jacob, what are you identified by? Because you identify, if I say palace, stand up. I might be looking over here, but if I say palace, stand up. Will the real palace stand up? Will the real palace stand up? Now, if palace knows her identity, she will stand up. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread. It's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread. bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. She will stand up. Huh? Because she is identified by what? Her name. Your name identifies you. If I say, "Justin, come up here and touch my shoulder. Justin, I need you to come up here real quick and touch my shoulder." Yeah. Now, I might be looking over there, but the real Justin will do what? Because he will come up and touch my shoulder, because he is identified with what? His name. Thank you so much, son. So therefore, Jacob says, "I'm not going to let you go until you do what? Bless me." And God does what? He talks to his identity. He says, "You will no longer be called Jacob. You've been identified with Jacob all your life." Jacob means deceiver. "But your name shall be Israel." God gives him his identity. Where? At Jacob. Jabok means what? Flowing. Proceeding. Proceeding is very important in there, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded. See, the father or leader or mother or grown up must have a proceeding word, or must live a proceeding life that's able to inspire and impart unto others. Now, that becomes very important. Why? Because of this here. When you look at the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery in the scripture, her life was spared because of a preceding word from the Father, from Jesus. Bible says that the Pharisees brought her to Jesus and said, "Look, we've caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses' law said to stone such a one. But what says thou?" And Jesus says, "Let him that have not sinned cast the first stone." See, Jesus brought forth a what? A preceding word. And what did it do? It saved her from being stoned. This is why it's so important to be connected to a father, a leader, a real person in God, because what they will always bring forth is a preceding word, a word that you can live by. And the Bible says that you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, As I began to do my research, and as I looked at the analogy that I gave you as I started, our children would say, "Are we there yet?" There's several things you need to pay attention to in that parable. First of all, it wasn't Tina and I asking, "Are we there yet?" because we knew what the journey entailed. But it was the children. Everybody say, the children. See, it's children. It's those that haven't been there before. It's those that haven't grown up. It's those that are not mature. It's those that are immature that are always asking the question, "Are we there yet?" After Jacob's name was changed to Jacob, his identity was given unto him. When he walked away from there that morning, as the sun rose on Peniel, the Bible says that he walked into the camp of the Israelites. There ain't nobody had to ask Jacob, had he arrived yet? Because if they would have called him Jacob, he would have said, "That's not my name. My name is Israel. Because I've wrestled with God and saw him face to face, and I'm still alive. So I have a new identity, and my new identity is in my walk. I don't walk the same no more." So they didn't have to ask him, have you matured? Have you grown up? You know, they could look at him and saw and see that his walk has changed. What I'm saying, are we still children asking, have we arrived yet? Have we arrived yet? Or have our walk changed? Have we had an experience with God where God has changed our identity? That's very important. The Bible says, you know, and this is reiterating some things, you know, as I go into some things and closing this out, on what attacks your maturation process. See, I've been making this statement for weeks, and I'll make it again. The devil, according to Hebrews chapter number 5, it says, talking about Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, the word suffered means that in the ways he was tried, tested, proven. Okay? So the ways that he was tried, tested, and proven, he learned obedience that. Therefore, he became the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews says. Now, how did he learn obedience? Through the things that he was tested, tried, proven, he suffered through. God always, our Father, will always position us before they release us into ministry or release us into fulfilling what he's designed us to fulfill. He would position us for the wilderness first. And the wilderness, you know, many times when we think about the wilderness, what we think about is suffering. We're going to go through something. Something terrible is going to happen. But God looks at it different. As I pointed out to the earlier class, Jeremiah 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, God looks at the wilderness as a honeymoon. We look at the wilderness as something hard, you know, but God looks at it as a honeymoon. As a matter of fact, when Israel first came out of Egypt, you know, and God took them into the wilderness, you know, they were honeymooning. They had just gotten together. God had just married them, and they were honeymooning. So the thing is, your wilderness experiences, the way God looks at it, is that you're on a honeymoon. And the only thing that can end this honeymoon is disobedience. You don't start wandering in circles until you disobey. You don't start going around that same mountain until you start living a life of disobedience. See, the reason God put you in the wilderness is to show you, you know, that you've got to be totally submitted to him if you're going to go into the promised land. If you're going to inherit his promises, if you're going to come to kingdom for fulfillment of what he's called you to do and called you to be, then it's going to take a total submissiveness on your part in order to inherit the promises. I hope you understand this. I believe you're going to have to get this tape, get this CD, you know, because you need to listen to it over and over to hear the voice of the Father out of it. You cannot do your own thing. You cannot be what you want to be. You cannot be who you want to be. You cannot do it your way. You've got to be submitted to the Father. I can guarantee you, everybody that you see that have submitted to the Father and is doing it the Father's way, I can guarantee you they have God's full protection. They have God's full prosperity on them. They got God's full blessings on them. Why? Because they're totally submitted to him. See, he thrust you into the wilderness to show you that, you know, he'll give you bread that you never ate before. He thrust you into the wilderness to show you that he'll give you water from a rock. You ain't never drank no water from a rock. You ain't never ate manna before. You know, but you're on a honeymoon. He'll thrust you into the wilderness to show you that he'll make your shoes and your clothes not to wear out. He'll thrust you in the wilderness because that's where they had to put a veil on Moses' face, because every now and then it would shine, light beams would shoot out of his face. He'll thrust you into the wilderness to show you, you know, that you live off of divine supplies. That's what wilderness teaches us, that we could not live and make it except God provided for us. And God will provide if we're totally submitted unto him. So he teaches us submission. And wilderness is so that, you know, he can give you a father's heart, or a leader's heart, or a grown-up's heart. So you won't be children. He brings a whole generation out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. And they only die in the wilderness because they stop being submitted. Oh, beloved of God, if we can just understand that God is trying to mature us so we can be effective. We'll never be effective, you know, to our generation if we don't grow up. Growing up is essential, is mandatory in our lives. Now, when since we're reiterating something, put the passage in St. Luke 3, verse 21 on the screen. I want to show you something in St. Luke 3, verse 21. And it says this here. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, it says the heavens were open. Now put verse 22 up there. It says, now when the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, what? Thou art my beloved son. So what is the Father giving Jesus right now? Identity. He's giving him identity. You are my son. You are my son. Y'all see that? Everybody see that? I don't want to move on until you see that. Yeah. Jesus gets his identity right here. You are my son. Now watch this here. That's chapter 3, verse 22. Look what happens in chapter 4, verse 1. In chapter 4, verse 1, it makes this statement. It says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, if he's full of the Holy Ghost, that qualifies him for ministry, right? No. It don't. Because what the Father's going to do right now, he's going to position you for the wilderness. You got to have a wilderness experience. I don't care if you are full of the Holy Ghost. You got to have a wilderness experience to go into ministry. We imparted unto the fathers on Father's Day. You know, we've been imparting unto you as long as you've been in this ministry. Some of you have been with us from the inception. Some of you have been with us the whole 30 years. Some of you have been with us 20-something years. Some of you 10 years, some 5 years. Some of you just got here. But the thing is, all along we've been imparting unto you and pouring into you. You know, but the day must come when we position you, you know, before we send you out. And here what happened. The Father's going to position Jesus. Watch how he positions Jesus. It says, now he's full of the Holy Ghost. He returned from Jordan. And then it says, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Where did he lead you? Into the wilderness. Now, in the eyes of God, what does the wilderness supposed to represent? Honeymoon. But what does it represent to you? Hardship. Being tested. Being proven. Being tried. The Holy Spirit. Jesus don't just choose to go in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Did you not know the word led, the Greek word for led, means that the Holy Spirit picked him up and threw him like a rock into the wilderness? All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story. in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. You ain't had no other choice. I'm going to hurl you. I'm going to throw you into this wilderness. Because you're not fit for ministry until you go through the wilderness. And then it's not up to you to ask, "Am I there yet? Am I there yet?" You don't determine how long the wilderness experience lasts in your life. You'll know when you're there when your walk changes. You'll know when you're there. As a matter of fact, here's how God will call you out. When you come together in fasting and prayer, just one day when God thinks that you're ready, you know, the Bible says in Acts 13, it says, "And when the prophets and the teachers came together, and as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas unto me, unto the work where I've called them." See, God won't separate you unto the work he's called you until he thinks you're ready. Not when you think you're ready. Not when you feel an unction. Not when you feel an urge. Not when you feel an itch. That's so important. Because, see, if you move out when you feel the itch and you feel the urge, you might be like a Cain and a Balaam and like a Corey, because you abort your calling before it ever gets started. See, you ain't been tried. You ain't been proven yet, because it says that that the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And then, come on with verse 2. Verse 2 says, in Luke, it says, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Now, so he was 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days tried. The word tempted there means tried, proven, tested of the devil. What was the devil tempting? What was he trying? Huh? What was he testing? What was he trying to prove? The Bible says he was there 40 days. What was the devil trying to prove in this son? God just identified him as what? A son of God. What was the devil trying to prove? What was he trying to test? Huh? What? The Bible tells you. Bring up the next verse. Here's what he's trying to test. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the son of God." There he is. He's trying to test your sonship. Because if I can kill you as a son, I won't have to deal with you as a father. If I can kill you as a son, if I can kill you as a child, I don't have to deal with you when you grow up. So what I want to do, I want to kill you at inception. Isn't this what Pharaoh did, you know, to the children of Israel? He didn't want to deal with Moses when Moses became a leader. So I want to try to kill Moses, you know, when he's a child. Yeah, yeah. The devil has some kind of inkling, you know, that a deliverer is going to be born. So if I can kill all the male children that are born in Egypt of the Israelites, then I kill that deliverer. And if I can kill him as a child, I won't have to deal with him as a father. You see what happens when you deal with him as a father. Man, he brings the whole nation out. He destroys the economics of Egypt. Come on. Until so much so that we throw the Israelites out. Man, he opens a sea. He turns water in the blood. Frogs come on our land. It hails and hail with fire, burns up all our crops. It's light on the Israelite side and dark on our side. Man, if I got to deal with you as a father, I'm done. But if I can kill you as a child, I ain't got to deal with you then. Do you see that? The Bible predicted Jesus would come. You know, the devil inspiring Herod, if I can kill him as a son, I have to deal with him as a father, as a real leader. Because if I got to deal with him as a leader, man, he's going to cast me out of people and I'm going to get in pigs and run down the cliff and drown them. If I got to deal with him as a father, you know, he's going to heal leprosy and he's going to wake up the dead and he's going to feed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. He's just going to call Lazarus out from being dead and make him alive again. He's going to challenge our teachings. He's going to challenge our theology. He's going to identify who we are. We are white sepulchres. That's white on the inside, but full of dead man bone on the inside. Man, if I got to deal with him as a leader, I'm through. So I want to kill him as a son. So the first thing the devil, what he's trying to prove, test, is, okay, if you are the son of God, I want you to question your sonship. Don't question your sonship. God done already gave you your identity. I am a son of God. But the devil comes to make you question who God said you are. And you never become who you are until you go through the wilderness process. So he says, if you are son of God, then what I want you to do is command this stone that it be made bread. I want you to command this. I want you to turn stone into bread. I want you to feed your flesh with the giftings and the anointing and the identity that the Father has given you. That's what I want you to do. Instead of fasting, I want you to feed your flesh. And see, when we, now watch how Jesus counteracts this here. All right, go to the next verse. And it says, and Jesus answered him saying, it is written. See, the only way a son will pass the test, you know, when Satan uses his tactics and his schemes on you, is that you got to use the preceding word of what your father said. And your father said this in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, around verse 3. And he said it, while they were in the wilderness. While Moses and them was in the wilderness, the Father gave Moses this preceding word. And here's what he said, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Look what he says. Look, put verse 2 on there, first of all. And so in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, it says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Huh? Where did God lead them? In the wilderness. Moses said, you need to remember this, that God led you in the wilderness. Now, to God, it was a honeymoon. Huh? He says, now, this is what he did to humble you. He says, and to prove you. What did he do with you in the wilderness? He proved you. I want to prove you to make sure that you are who I say you are. A whole generation failed except two men. And he said, these two men were of a different spirit. Caleb and Joshua. So God says, I'm going to prove you to know what was in your heart. God knows what's in your heart. He wants you to know what's in your heart. Because see, as a child, you say like, Peter, you know, I'll never leave you. I'll go to death for you. Father just look at Peter and says, you know, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. I know what's in your heart. You just don't know what's in your heart. You see, so, and then he says, so I want to prove you, see what's in your heart. And this is important. Whether you will keep my commandments. This is what I'm going to say. I want to see, are you going to be submissive to me? Because though you are a son, the way you learned obedience was through the things that you suffered, through the way I proved you. So I want to see if you're going to be submissive to me. See, because I can't really trust you with what I want to do with you unless I prove you. So verse 3 says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which no generation had ever eaten that before them. He says, which thou, you didn't know. He says, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that does what? Proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord, do man live. So hear what God is saying. The only way you're going to live, I come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. And the only way you're going to live is by the word that proceed out of my mouth. You got to hear what I'm saying today. Come on, you got to hear the way I'm directing you today. What am I saying to you right now? Now, that's going to be important. Hold on to that. What am I saying to you right now? Because what sons and daughters do when they're ready to abort their calling and abort their mission and not become anything and cancel their fatherhood and cancel their leadership, you know, all of a sudden they start talking against what God is saying right now. So the devil, three times in St. Luke, he comes to Jesus and he says, if you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, you got to know that you've got your identity. See, some of us haven't come to the concept that what St. John says, he came unto his own and his own received them not. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become what? Sons of God. Sons are different from children. According to the book of Romans, it says something like this here, you know, that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And then it says, you know, because we have the Holy Spirit, we are sons of God. According to Galatians chapter number 4, it says we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. You know, we being sons of God. But some of us haven't come to the concept yet that we're sons. We don't even act like sons. We don't even act like children of God. We don't walk like children of God. We don't do like children of God. And I don't know where we are. I don't know whether we're spaced out. I don't know whether, you know, our mind has left us. I don't know what's wrong with us, because the time that we ought to be, you know, sons and grown up, Paul says to the Hebrews that you need to be taught all over again. You are beginners. See, the wilderness was an experience for beginners. Look at it. When they come out of Egypt, he leads them right into the wilderness because they are beginners. You ought not to be a beginner at 30 years old. This ministry is not a beginner. Powerhouse is not a beginner. Now, I'm not talking about some of the people in Powerhouse. I'm talking about Powerhouse Ministries. We're on the cutting edge. We have a right now word. Come on. We're ministering to our generation. We're effective and powerful. We're ministering locally and nationally and internationally. So there's nothing wrong with the maturity of the ministry, but with some of the people. You're needing to catch up. You're really needing to catch up. Now, and believe me, beloved, I'm like Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, I'm not saying these things to shame you. I'm saying these things to warn you. Because we're calling ourselves Christians. We're calling ourselves sons of God, but we don't look like it. We don't act like it. We're not performing like it. And you got to know that the devil is a tactician. He's a strategist. And his strategy is to cancel you out as a son so you won't reach full maturity. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, Well, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread, it's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. So you won't grow up. So, how does he do this? How does he do this? The way he does this here, we gotta look at several people in the Bible, because they're mentioned in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. They wasn't just names in the Old Testament; they were actually spirits. And he warns the church about them. This morning, you know, you that caught the last part of the first session, I was talking about Cain. And if you would look at 1 John, if you would, first of all. 1 John. Where are we at in 1 John? Chapter number 3, I think it is. 1 John, chapter number 3. Is that the right one? Let me get it in. I'm so sure it is chapter number 3. All right. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 10. It says this here, "In this the children of God are manifest." In this. All right. Here's how the children of God are made manifest. "And the children of the devil." Here's how you're going to separate them. Y'all want to hear what the word says? He says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And neither he that loveth not his brother." If you don't love your brother and you don't do righteousness, you're not of God. That's what the word says. Now, it says this here. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That we should do what? Then he instructs, he says, not as Cain. Who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Can I point out something to you? John thought it necessary to mention Cain in the New Testament, although he was an Old Testament figure. If you would turn back to Genesis chapter number 4, I want to point out some things to you about came that you can readily see right here in the New Testament church. And as I began to look at Cain again, it just brought some things to me that were astounding. Look what it says in Genesis 4, verse 1. Genesis 4, verse 1 says this here. Put it on the screen. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, even in this instance, Cain being the firstborn, he's in position to have the double birth, double portion, right? You know, a father, again, like the Holy Spirit did, he positions you for a wilderness experience so that, and when you read in Matthew about Jesus, after he's tempted those three times, it says, and the angels came and ministered unto him. After he passed the test, the angels came and ministered unto him. In Luke, it says, after he passed the test, he went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't until he passed the test, he was proven, he was tried. It says, and the devil leaved him for a season. You see, when the devil, when you use the words of the Father and you use the words of what your Father has taught you, you know, the thing is, you're past the test. But when you're trying to make up your own words, you know, you ain't going to pass nothing. Jesus, all three times, he shot back at the devil, it is written. And one of the times, mama, the devil took that same word that was written. This is why the devil tempt you not to read, not to study, not to put no time in, not to go to Bible study. You know, he tempts you not to do it. He's a strategist, y'all. He's seared your mind to the point that all I need church is for one day of the week. And then some of us, he's put in our mind, we don't need church but one time a month. He's a tactician. He strategizes on how to get you to come short of your sonship, you know, in God. That's his strategy. He's, you know, and you've got to know this. That's a strategy of the devil. You know, I don't care whether it's work, whether it's something you got to catch up on one of your programs, you know, that you recorded or whatever, you know, the devil, you know, he would take the word. And he would make it sound like a viable excuse. Look what he told Jesus in one of them. We're coming back to that. He tells Jesus, he says, now, it's written. Huh? That's what he tells Jesus. Jesus comes back to the devil and says, you know, you're telling me to turn these stones into bread, but it's written that we shall not live by bread alone. Then the devil comes back and says, well, it's written. That the angels will bear you up. If you throw yourself off of this high place, they won't even let you dash your foot against the stone. And I read that, what the devil said, and I went back to the book of Psalms, and did you not know, it's word for word. The devil didn't mess none of those words up. He didn't. You read it and go back and read it in Psalms. The devil got it all right. You know what that told me? The devil know the word. He's studying the word when we're not studying the word. Let me say it to you again. The devil is out studying you. He's out studying you in the word. And if you don't watch him, he'll trick you with the very word you're supposed to be studying. But Jesus shot back at the devil and hear what he said. It's also written, you don't tempt the Lord your God. Huh? Some of us would have went ahead and jumped because it's written. But Jesus knew how to counteract that with the word. That ain't what it's saying, devil. You don't just go and get on a high place and just jump just to tempt God to see will he catch you. No, you don't do that. And then the devil taking him, you know, to a high place and show him all the kingdoms of the world. And in showing him all the kingdoms of the world, you know, thank you, media. It says, and he showed them to him in a moment time. Alright, then it says, and the devil said unto him, all this power I'm going to give you and the glory of them. I'm going to give it to you. He says, for that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. Then verse 7 says, what? Verse 7 says, if thou would thou just worship me, all's going to be yours. If you just bow down and worship me. Alright, and verse 8, what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written. See, all three times. What happens when you're tempted? What happens when things come against you? Do you ever say, it's written? Do you ever use the scripture as your defense? Or you just go ahead and give in? But Jesus said, it's written, you do worship the Lord your God, and only Him shall thou serve. All three times Jesus did this. If you do that, you defeat the devil. Now, back to these things. So when we go to Cain, John bears it out and he tells us, we should love one another, but not as Cain. When you go to the fourth chapter, it says that Adam knew, he knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So Cain, by birth, he gets the double portion blessing, right? We understand that? So look what the verse 2 says. It says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain worked the ground. Abel, kept livestock, kept sheep. Look what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, Cain wasn't, look at this here. I want you to look at it open-eyed. Cain was bringing an offering to the Lord.
That's right.
Bottom line, he brought an offering to the Lord. Come on, look at, it says, so he brought an offering to the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the first and of his flock, of the fat thereof. Now, put that in the, let's read it in the NIV. It says, go back to verse 3. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Verse 4, it says, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. What it says in the message. Verse 3. It says, time passed. Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. Verse 4. Abel also brought an offering, but from the firstborn animals of his herd. Choice cuts of meat. So who was giving the best? Abel was given the best, right? Because, first of all, if you're going to bring choice cuts of meat, there had to be the shedding of blood. And then he was bringing what? From the firstborn animals, which he put God first. Okay? That's called the tithe. All right? Now look what happens. Go back to the NIV in verse 4. It says, in the NIV verse 4, go back to verse 4. So it says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, verse 5. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now, this is a spirit in the church, and this is one of the spirits that attacked the church. This is why John thought to bring it up. Put it back up there. The scripture back up there, it says, at verse, it says that God showed favor unto Abel's offering. But on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. So who did this? God, right? So put it in the King James. Let me show you what King James says. Verse 4. And Abel, he also... All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. He disrespected Cain's offering. "You don't bring me nothing like that." That's what God was saying. Now, Cain and Abel, pay attention to this here, had open access to the voice of the Father. They had open access to heaven, both of them. And the Bible says, so when God disrespected Cain's offering, if God disrespected an offering that you brought to him, what are you going to do? "Man, I'm upset that God," then, you know, that's Cain's spirit. Huh? Because it says Cain got angry. He got angry. He was wrought and his countenance fell. Who was he mad at? Who was he mad at, class? Who was he mad at? Who was he mad at? No, he was mad at God. Who was he mad at? Who was he mad at? I want you to see this. Who was he mad at? Now, why was he mad at God? Because, let me tell you why. He was mad at God because he wanted God to like something he liked. And God didn't like what he liked. And because God didn't like what he liked, then he was mad. He stuck his lips out. Do you see? You know anybody like that? Huh? You know, they want you to like what they like. And if you don't like what they like, I'm the firstborn son around here. You know, I done worked my fingers to the bone and I bought you what I thought you would like. You know, and now you don't like what I like and I want you to like what I like. You can't make God like what you like. That's right. It's like if you're trying, I used the example earlier, I used something else. You know, you're trying to give me a set of tires, you know, and I said, well, I don't really like those tires. No, Bishop, if you take these tires, you're going to like them. They'll grow on you. No, I don't like those tires. Come on, Bishop, if you just try them, you know, if you just try them, I think you'll like them. Now, on the other hand, somebody over here, bring me some tires. Oh, man, I love them. Man, those 22s. Oh, man, I, you know. Now, so I like what you are giving me, but you keep trying to force me to like something that I don't like, and I don't want that. Now, who you going to get mad at? Who didn't like them? I didn't like them. Why you getting mad at him? Come on, need you to see something? Need you to see the spirit of Cain that works and operates in believers? Abel didn't do you nothing, Cain. It was God that disrespected you. It was God that didn't like what you bought him. It was God. But you don't like Abel. So something is wrong with you, Cain. First of all, you're trying to make God take something that he don't want. The spirit of Cain. We got to watch ourselves. We try to make God take something that he don't want. Because when you try to make God take something that he don't want, it's messing with our maturation. You're not maturing. You ever had a child come up to you and say, you know, I don't want that. I don't want that, child. But they keep pushing it off on you. I don't want that. And then they go away crying, you know, tears, you know. Or then you take it just to appease. God ain't like that. God don't do that. God ain't taking nothing that he don't want. He ain't trying to appease nobody. He just want what he wants. And the only reason we take it is because we ain't grew up yet. All right. Come on. Let's go to the next verse. I'm sorry. Let's go to the next verse. Where we at? Chapter 6. All right. So the Lord said unto Cain. Who said unto Cain?
The Lord.
So you're telling me that Cain has an open communication with the Father, with God?
Yeah.
God is talking to Cain? Yes. God is talking to Cain. God talks to the believer who's allowing the spirit of Cain to operate in their life. And here's what God says to Cain. He asks him two questions. Number one, why are you wrought? Put that in the NIV. He says, why are you angry? Number two, why is your face downcast? What's wrong with you? All right, go to verse 7. Can I just break it down to you? You know, you have the spirit of Cain operating in the church, and you'll see it in people that they don't want nobody else to do better than them. Can you see that spirit? Can you see Cain? They don't want nobody else. Cain wants to be the preeminence. Let me say it again. Cain wants to be the preeminence. He wants to be the big baller. As a matter of fact, Cain wants to kill out or assassinate anybody that does better than him. Can you see it? Do you see why John had to address that in the church, in the New Testament church? Because that spirit can get in a believer, and a believer will do the same. They'll start attacking their brothers. They'll start attacking their sisters. They'll start attacking anybody who's doing more than them. And what it does, you read the rest of Cain's story. You know what God does to Cain? He says, and let me read it to you. It says, after he kills, put it up there. Let's follow it out. Because I thought it was very interesting. It says, the Lord said to Cain. Now the Lord, he still got that, even after he killed his brother, he got the open communication with Cain. It says, the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Put it in the message. I'm going to show you how he talks to the Father. If he talked to God like this, I don't think Adam had a chance. He says, God said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, how should I know? Am I his babysitter? Oh, you smarting off at the lip. You smarting off at the mouth. And if you talk to God like that, Adam and Eve do not have a chance. Isn't that something, Mom? If you are able to talk to God in this way, and if you're able to smart off at the lip to God, and if you're able to talk back to God like this here, listen, your natural parents are your spiritual parents in the Lord. They can't do nothing with you. They can't do nothing with you. Because if God, if you talk to God this way, you talk worse to your parents. If you won't obey God, you know, bottom line, people in the natural ain't got, you know, you definitely ain't going to obey them. And the only way you learn obedience is by things you suffer. Look what the next verse says. So put it in the NIV, verse 11. Verse 11 says, now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. That's what he tells Cain. He says, when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. He says, you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. So he says now, because the Bible says that Cain was a worker of the soil. Now God says, because you killed your brother and your brother's blood is crying out to me. You know, now you can work the ground all you want, but it ain't going to yield nothing for you. You can go and till up a whole acre of land, plant all the collard greens, the watermelons, cantaloupe, ain't none of them going to grow. So you're going to wander the earth now. Hear what Cain says to God, verse 13. It says, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. He says, today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Verse 15. It says, but the Lord said to him, no, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Verse 16. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and he lived in the land of Nod. Nod means no man's land. East of Eden. He wandered. Did not children of Israel do the same thing Cain did when they disobeyed? When they wouldn't go take the promised land, what did they do? They wandered in the wilderness. See, that spirit will cause you to wander. You ain't going nowhere. You're going in circles in life. You was in the same shape last year. You had to make a loan for $2,000, to get you a car. You were broke last year at this time. Come on, you were broke, busted, and disgusted last year at this time. You couldn't do nothing. Why you keep wandering in that same circle? I'll tell you why. Because the spirit of Cain. Spirit of Cain is on you. You need to check it. How do I cast off the spirit of Cain? Give me a few minutes because I ain't got time to go through Balaam. Oh, I have some things to say about Balaam. Go to Jude. Go to the book of Jude. Cain never came into his own. Yeah, I do. I do want to talk. Just say something about Balaam if I could. Alright. Look in Revelation. Put Revelation 2, verse 13 on the board. Revelation 2, verse. You got it? 2 verse 13, Revelation 2 verse 13, and he always said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast, you know my name. He's talking to the church at Pergamos. He says, and you have not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.